time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Appreciate you all tuning in. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters out there. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loan truck drivers out there, all my bus drivers, riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, FedEx pilots, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well, including all of my air traffic control workers out there, too. Appreciate you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. All my early morning, late night mailmen, mailwomen, postal workers out there, making sure that people get their mail and packages in a safe and timely fashion as well. All my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. All my local 613 IBW workers out there as well. All my local funeral home workers, all my local donut makers, and I got a new one to add to the list this morning, y'all. I got a new one. Shout out to all my railroad workers out there, all my railroad workers out there. Appreciate y'all. And if I didn't say it, I think I said this one already. Mailmen, mailwomen, postal workers out there, shout out to y'all too. But I had a new one to add. I have a new one to add. All the railroad workers out there, try saying that three times fast, railroad workers out there, got to give them a shout out this morning because I was hosting trivia last night. I don't know if I told you, but I started hosting trivia about probably 5 weeks ago now, a little over a month. I started hosting trivia again. I used to actually host trivia for the same company. Shout out Outspoken Entertainment. I used to host trivia for this company during weeknights back in the day before I became full-time here at the station and before I started working nights, because when I originally came full-time here, just to give you a little Dylan lore this morning, when I originally became full-time here at the station, I was producer of The Night Show, which was John Chuckery at the time, and before that, I was hosting trivia during the weeknights, and I think this was pre-COVID, I think, pretty sure, but regardless, once I started working on The Night Show full-time, obviously I could not host trivia anymore, so I stopped hosting trivia for a while until about 5 weeks ago, and they were gracious enough to bring me back, and so again, been hosting trivia now for about 5 or 6 weeks now, and I met not one, but two listeners last night. So shout out to my railroad worker, Sean, out there this morning. Sean, appreciate you, man. Shout out to his team, Trivia Newton John, last night for coming out and playing some trivia. I was at the Fairfield Clubhouse all the way in Villa Rica last night. Made a little bit of a drive from Brookhaven to Villa Rica last night out there near Carrollton. Shout out to West Georgia Wolves one time. Shout out my girl Noel holding it down behind the glass. Two West Georgia Wolves holding it down in the kids' studios right now. But shout out to my guy Sean, the railroad worker. And shout out to my guy Jerry, too. Jerry and Team Chicken Dinner. So shout out to Jerry for listening this morning, listening always. Shout out to my guy Sean for showing up last night, listening always, and showing love. I appreciate both of y'all. So shout out Sean and Jerry this morning, and shout out all my railroad workers out there working hard this morning. I appreciate y'all. But we got plenty to get to here on a hump day Wednesday. We are going to get to the Atlanta Braves here in just a second. We got plenty to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons getting OTAs underway again. Their second period of OTAs this offseason. Kevin Stefanski, Brian Callahan, and others set to talk to the media later on today after they finish their second OTA session, their practice today. So we'll have some new and fresh Falcons sound for you tomorrow. But Falcons OTAs, second period OTAs happening again today. Like I said, we're going to get to the Braves here in just a second. They got a nice win over the Boston Red Sox, 7-6. And we also got some NFL news we're going to get into later on. And we'll touch a little bit on the NBA Finals. And we got to talk a little bit about what Kirby Smart had to say yesterday, too. So we got plenty of things to get to and only a little bit of time to do it. So let's not waste any more time. Let's first and foremost start with the Atlanta Braves. As the Bravos got back in the win column last night, got back to their winning ways. They win 7-6 last night and just continue to just keep winning, just keep winning, just keep winning, winning, winning. 7-6, final score. Braves now 37-18. How about money? Michael Harris bringing in all the cash last night. He goes 4-for-4. Scores 2 runs, 3 RBIs, including a homer for Money Mike. That was big. Also, Matt Olson goes deep last night as well, too. That was a huge homer for Matty O and the Braves. That kind of was the spark to get them out of that slump, and we'll let you hear Walt Weiss talk about that here in just a second. Ronnie has a big RBI single as well, too. Dom Smith. Got himself an RBI in a pinch hit situation, so that was good to see as well. Mike Yastrzemski got a hit in and scored a run in a pinch hit situation, so that was good. Austin Riley got a hit, scored a run as well, had a walk. So a couple of guys, Mauricio Dubon got a hit and a walk. So a couple of good things done offensively last night, but Michael Harris, Money Mike, definitely carrying the way, and that was good to see. Before we let you hear Walt Weiss talk about Money Mike's big night, I do want to let you hear Walt Weiss, Braves manager, talk about the Matt Olson home run and how Matt Olson needed it because obviously he was slumping a little bit and obviously the Braves' offense overall was slumping a little bit. If you go back, obviously, to that series they just finished up with the Washington Nationals, they only scored in that entire National Series. They scored 6 runs in 3 games. And 5 of those runs came in Game 1 on Friday. The final 2 games, they only scored a combined solo dolo run. And they scored 7 last night. So just last night, they outscored all. They scored more runs than they did in that entire Washington Nationals series that they played over the weekend at home. So definitely a bounce back effort for that Braves offense. And Walt Weiss, again, last night after the game, talked about how Matt Olson needed that home run and the Braves' entire offense needed that home run and how that Matty O, big fly, was kind of the spark that got this offense back going.
Yeah, he needed it. We needed it. That kick-started us. But it's good to went out and scored 7 runs. You know, this place, it's a tough place to win, man. I mean, it's just like a lot of places on the road, right? But this place is different. Anything in the air to left field is usually runs. You know, so it's almost like a Coors Field type of feel where nothing's safe, nothing feels safe. But it's a nice job coming in here and getting that win.
Very good job by the Braves going in there, getting that win. Holding on in the ninth, we'll talk a little bit about that as well, too. But again, definitely much needed runs last night for the Atlanta Braves. Good for them to break out. And hopefully that is a sign that they're going to start picking it right back up offensively again after having a down series when it comes to the bats this past weekend against the Nationals. But if you by any chance missed the game, I know us early risers go to bed early and we, you know, might have missed this one, even though this was a 6:45 start, so not bad for us early risers. But it did get a little bit dicey in the ninth. In case you missed it, Boston in the ninth inning led off with a single by Mickey Gasper. Then there was a double by Nick Sogard off Raisel Iglesias. Then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa closed the gap to just one run with a two-run single. Then Jaron Duran singled. Then Kadan Raffaella hit a ground ball into a force at third for the second out of the inning. And then Wyler Abreu then hit a tapper right back to Iglesias to end the game. So it got a little bit dicey. It got a little bit shaky for old Iggy at the end of the game. But Walt Weiss talked about the end of the game. And Iggy, despite having a rough start to the ninth inning, he talked about him doing a great job being able to close it out and talked about getting a little bit of help from his defense as well, too.
Iggy's never going to get rattled, regardless of the situation. Kim made a great play there in the hole, and Riley did a great job being there at third base, because a lot of times third basemen get caught watching that play, because there's no way we're turning a dull play there. So really nice play. First and third's very different. So great play by Kim, and yeah, nice job holding on to that one.
Very good job by Iggy. Like you heard Walt say there, not to get rattled, not to get shaken. And look, that's that veteran closer in Raisel Iglesias. He's been through it before, and we've seen it before. We've been through some roller coaster rides with Iggy that sometimes have not ended well, but I feel like a good portion of the time have ended well, even though we were like, whew, okay, Iggy, you made us sweat through that one, big dog. We didn't want to sweat that hard before we went to bed, but, you know, here we are sweating. But either way it goes, Iggy closed it out and closed up things for the Braves and secured the victory for the Bravos. Spencer Strider, do have to talk about him. He did a pretty nice job last night for the Braves in his start. Pretty much a quality start for Spencer Strider. Five innings, gave up three hits, three runs, all of them earned, three walks, five strikeouts. Did give up two homers. It is a little bit of a tougher ballpark to pitch in when you talk about, why am I forgetting the name of Fenway Park? I literally almost forgot the name of Fenway Park for a second. I don't know how I did that. Anywho, it can be a little bit of a tough ballpark to pitch in, especially for a guy like Spencer Strider, who, again, you know, still relies a good bit on his fastball and, you know, kind of blown by guys, even though Walt Weiss did mention, and we'll play this here just as we have a couple minutes left, he did talk about how he thinks Spencer is becoming more of a complete pitcher. But Spencer Strider overall gave the Braves a chance to win. That's all you can really ask for. Look, when it comes to any of these Braves pitchers, night in, night out, if they can, and obviously you want, you know, some longer starts mixed in there, you know, with maybe a fewer than three runs here and there. But at the end of the day, if your starting pitcher gives you five innings and gives up three runs or less, you're feeling all right about their outing. You're feeling okay because you're still in the game. You still got a chance to win, and you're feeling good about things. So real quick, before we go to break here, let's let you hear Walt Weiss talking about Spencer Strider giving the Braves a chance to win again and letting you hear how Walt thinks Spencer is becoming a more complete pitcher.
I mean, he's given us a chance to win virtually every time out. So, yeah, he's using the secondary stuff, and I think he's becoming more of a complete pitcher, you know, and he made those adjustments last year. So, did a nice job for us.
Absolutely. Good to see from Spencer. And, again, when you talk about him becoming a complete pitcher, just think about what Spencer Strider was when he came into the league. Just, like, fastball and what? He had a slider, too? I mean, he had really two pitches that he was working with when he first came into the league. Obviously, he's dealt with some injuries. Had that brace surgery, and now you can see the repertoire, the amount of pitches Spencer Strider can throw and use to get outs is going up. So Spencer Strider definitely becoming more of a complete pitcher for sure, and that is good stuff and a good sign for the Atlanta Braves. Braves will be going for the series win tonight as we will have the Elder Statesman, Bryce Elder, on the mound for the Braves. Connelly early on the mound for the Red Sox. Bryce Elder continuing to be so good. 4-2 on the year, 1.97 ERA, 0.99 whip in 68 and two-thirds innings pitched. Early, been pretty darn good for the Red Sox in his own respect. 4-2 on the year, 3.33 ERA, 1.9 whip in 54 innings pitched. So we'll see how things play out there. Early, though, has given up 9 home runs on the season, so hopefully the Braves' bats can stay hot and we can get some more long balls tonight, but we'll see how that plays out. First pitch set for 6:45. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, about 5-6 minutes from now, we got to talk about the news that we got on our rookie pass rusher going into his second year, but could James Pierce Jr. be back on the field sooner rather than later? It's looking like it. We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy hump day Wednesday. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Fix. This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. Hope y'all are doing well. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Once you got that free Odyssey app downloaded on your smartphone and all your smart devices, you want to make sure you search for the radio station 92.9 The Game. Once you find the radio station, follow and subscribe to the station and follow and subscribe to all the great shows on the station as well. My show, obviously, The Hometown Take, The Morning Shift, The Steakhouse, Midday Show with Andy and Randy Dukes and Bill, Chris Thompson tonight. All the great shows during the weeknights as well. Monday nights, we got The Night Drive with Dom Cherosky. Wednesday nights, we got Prep Sports Nation with Damian Day-Day Lewis. Thursday nights, we got The Intersection with my girl Noelle White, who's holding it down behind the glass right now, and Jason Longshore as well. And don't forget our great shows on the weekend, too. Sam and Greg from The Diamond with Grant McCauley, College Football Game Time, all of them. Follow them, subscribe to them. When you do that, you'll really be in the game. You'll get live push notifications about when shows go live, live push notifications about when shows are having guests on live. You get live push notifications about when new audio and articles uploaded to the website. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite shows in their entirety. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite interviews and segments from your favorite shows as well. You'll be able to do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So download that thing on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. All right. We got to talk a little bit about the Atlanta Falcons. Mentioned earlier that OTAs, second period OTAs for the Falcons happening today. We'll have some Falcons coaches speaking to the media as well. Some players, I think, too. Kevin Stefanski, I know Bill Callahan, just to name a couple. But it'll be good to hear from them later on today, and we'll bring some of what they all had to say to you tomorrow. But it'll be good to see the guys back on the field today, and so we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But Falcons OTAs are happening today once again. Had a session last week. Now they'll be back at it this week, and we'll see what comes of it. But we got some pretty big news yesterday when you talk about the Atlanta Falcons regarding one James Pierce Jr. News came out yesterday that James Pierce Jr., a step closer to hopefully putting his legal troubles behind him for good. However, going to take a little bit longer than expected for James Pierce Jr. Pierce's attorney, Yale Sanford, confirmed yesterday that Pierce has been approved for a pretrial intervention program, though the timeline has been extended, if you remember, from If you remember, originally it was going to be 6 months to 1 year, or excuse me, it was going to be 6 months. It was going to be a 6 month program that he needed to complete, and then all the charges are going to be dropped. Now that's being extended to a year, which again, I think is totally fair, especially if you know you just have to complete this year long program and all your charges get dropped. Yeah, I think anybody would take that. So he's now going to be in a year long program. If Pierce completes the program without any further legal trouble, all felony misdemeanor charges against him will be dropped and he will avoid jail time. I don't think I have to really explain how big of a deal that is for not only, obviously, James Pierce Jr., but the Atlanta Falcons as well in Pierce's playing career. Because if all charges get dropped, he doesn't do any jail time. I mean, we're looking at what? Maybe a 4-game suspension now for, you know, not, you know, going against or, you know, going up against the conduct policy. And I mean, that's probably about it. So a 4-game suspension for James Pierce Jr. And a fine probably are what we're looking at. And then he can get back on the field. And now, I do wonder with this news, if it comes out that, okay, he completes this program, 4-game suspension, and boom, he's good, he's clean, he can wipe his hands of it and be done. I don't see why the Falcons can't have him at training camp. Or maybe even back on the field sooner for mandatory minicamp. Because obviously they're having him be away from the team right now as he's dealing with this. Well, you know, he's just away from the team. It's not necessarily something that the Falcons are, you know, said they are forcing him to be away from the team, this, that, and the third. But it's kind of a, seems like more of a mutual thing that, yeah, just go handle your business right now and we'll check in later. But as this situation starts to come to a close, hopefully, and we get closure as far as what the punishment is going to be for James Pierce Jr., what the suspension is going to be, because he's going to get suspended. There's no way he doesn't get suspended. But again, no jail time, charges get dropped, he goes through this year-long program. I think we could realistically be looking at just a 4-game suspension. And if that's the case, if I'm Kevin Stefanski and the Falcons, I'm letting James Pierce Jr. come to mandatory minicamp. I'm letting him come to training camp, letting him get himself reacclimated, let him go through everything. And then once, obviously, the season starts, okay, you do your 4 games. But then when you come back, you're that much closer to being ready to rock and roll instead of being away from the team all offseason and then trying to come back, you know, at whatever point that would have been. So this is definitely good news for not only James Pierce Jr., but the Atlanta Falcons as well. So I do think James Pierce Jr. will be back on the field sooner rather than later with this news. Again, we still have to see what kind of suspension the NFL is going to hand down. I could see it anywhere now between 4 and 6 games. But at this point, I honestly don't see it being longer than 6 games. And honestly, if I had to tell you, give you a prediction right now, for lack of a better term, I would say 4 games. So we'll see how it all plays out. In a separate development that goes along with this James Pierce Jr. situation, Pierce's ex-girlfriend and WNBA player Rekia Jackson did voluntarily drop her attempt to obtain a permanent restraining order against the Falcons star. However, Pierce is still required to stay away from Jackson for the next 12 months until the case is officially closed. Pierce, again, right now still facing 3 felony charges stemming from an alleged domestic dispute that happened back on February 7th in Miami-Dade County that involved Jackson. The Florida State Attorney's Office filed charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, fleeing and eluding police, and resisting an officer with violence on March 13th. A fourth charge of stalking was brought as a misdemeanor, and an additional charge of aggravated battery of an officer was previously dropped. According to the police account, Jackson told authorities, you know, she attempted to drive away. We all know the story. We don't need to get back all into that. You all know, unfortunately, what happened with that situation. But we do need to be saying thank you to Rekia Jackson as well. Because, again, voluntarily dropping her, trying to get a permanent restraining order. And, again, she is the one, it seems like, her and her lawyer are the ones okaying all of this, saying that, you know, they're good with dropping the charges if he completes this program and all those things. So Falcons fans and obviously James Pierce Jr. need to be thanking Rekia Jackson as well, because if she wanted to go there, she could have went there. And if she really wanted to try and get James Pierce Jr. in jail, she could be doing that right now, and we could be having a much different conversation. So I'm not saying she's doing it for James Pierce Jr. She could just be doing it to so she can move on with her life and not have to be dealing with that anymore, especially now that she unfortunately tore ACL and she's trying to rehab and things like that. So obviously she's got other things she's wanting to face. But I do think, and again, I obviously don't know Rekia Jackson personally, but I do think it's a little bit of both, to where she wants to move on with her life and she doesn't want to be dealing with this anymore personally. But I do think she still cares enough for James Pierce Jr. And again, I don't know their relationship. I don't know either of them personally, and I don't obviously have any inside information on this. But to me, it does seem like that maybe, just maybe, Rekia Jackson does still have some love and does care for James Pierce Jr. to the point where she didn't want to be the reason he never plays football again, or possibly, you know, has to be suspended for an entire year and the trajectory of his football career gets changed. So, again, shout out Rekia Jackson, and thank you, Rekia Jackson, for being as merciful and kind when it comes to this situation as she has been. Because like I just said, this could have been way, way worse. And as long as James Pierce Jr. does his part, walks the narrow path, stays on the straight line, stays on the straight and narrow, I think we could see James Pierce Jr. back on the Atlanta back on the field for the Atlanta Falcons after a 4, maybe 6-game suspension. So we'll see how it plays out. All right. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, Kirby Smart said he ain't afraid to break away from the rest of the college football conferences out there. He said the SEC, we can stand on business. We can stand on 10 toes by ourselves. Talk about it next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday on Sports Radio 99 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Sports Fix. This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday. I hope y'all are doing well. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms here. 542 on a Hump Day Wednesday. Hope y'all are having a great start to your hump day. All downhill from here. And look, it's a short week too. You got this. We are that much closer to a Friday, another weekend. But we still got some ground to cover here this morning on the Hometown Take as SEC meetings happening. And Kirby Smart, Georgia Bulldogs head coach, he was standing on business yesterday. And obviously there's been a lot of talk about Are we going to go to 24? Are we going to stay at 16? Who was in favor of 16? Who was in favor of 24? There's been a lot of college football playoff talk. And Kirby Smart gave his take on everything yesterday. And, you know, again, there have been discussions about the possibility of the SEC going independent, basically, and self-governing. And that option has obviously become a very popular topic. And, again, conversations being held last week among Big Ten leaders. And, obviously, they're on their own stance. And now Kirby Smart, again, has become a leading voice among SEC coaches. And he addressed the possibility of self-governance head-on yesterday. And he said, quote, "I've said this for a long time to our president. I've been a huge advocate that if we can find rules that everybody, if we can't find rules that everybody plays by, then we should play on our own. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to break away and say that our conference is strong enough to go out and play. If we could actually function financially, it would make our programs more stable. We could support things financially. I'm talking about all the sports and do our own rules. I'd be all for that." Now, the problem that arises when it comes to the SEC being their own entity and self-governing and all of those things that come with that is what Kirby Smart alluded to at the end there. Financially, can they do what they need to do with all the sports, not just football, not just basketball, but all sports, men's and women's? When we start to get into men's and women's soccer, men's and women's, you know, I know Georgia softball and baseball both having very good years. But again, we have to remember, football and basketball fund a lot of these other sports. That's still a thing. And yes, I know NIL and boosters and collectives, I get all that. But there is still very much, it's still very much a world where the sports that don't make any money rely on all the money that comes in from football, all the money that comes in from the money that they, you know, the little money they get from the NCAA tournament, even though they really don't get any from that. But you get what I'm saying. These smaller sports are still very much reliant upon the big sports. And if you go be independent, if you become this self-governing body, can you financially be stable enough to still have all the sports that you want? Because I know Kirby Smart doesn't want any other sports to go away just so football can do its own thing. As a coach, you don't want that for any sport, no matter if you're the football coach. You know, Kirby Smart is still very much a guy that cares about the other sports at Georgia. And I'm sure that goes for a lot of the SEC football coaches. They care about all the other sports. And, you know, while obviously their sport is number one in their mind, they don't want to see any of the other sports go away just so they can do their own thing. So that, to me, is the only problem that really arises financially. Obviously, when you are trying to do these things and, you know, TV and all those other things that come with it, you got to have partners. You got to have the sponsors. And branching away from the rest of the group could hurt some things financially. Now, could they get the partners and the sponsors for football? Yeah, duh. I mean, they would be fine doing that. I think even basketball, they probably would be fine. But, you know, are you still going to be able to have the same sponsors and, you know, still be able to hold up SEC Network with just when it's, you know, just soccer? Or, you know, no shade, just truth. Maybe softball, you can find a way. But again, there's just questions financially about being able to have support for all the other sports and, you know, have the financials that you need for all the other sports along with the big ones, football, basketball, et cetera. So to me, that's the only problem. But we'll see. It is definitely going to be a conversation, and it's something that's going to continue. But at the end of the day, the writing to me is on the wall that they're going to go to 24. The SEC is going to, I think, at the end of the day, play along with 24. But I'm not going to say it's out of the question. I'm not going to say it's out of the picture. I'm not going to say it's out of the realm of possibilities that the SEC tries to go independent. But we'll see how it all plays out. I do want to get into some NFL headlines here in just a couple of minutes. But before we do that, I do want to pay respects to the former National League Rookie of the Year and Atlanta Braves legend Bob Horner. Unfortunately, passed away at the age of 68 yesterday. Remember, Horner skipped the minor leagues entirely as the number one overall pick in the 1978 MLB draft, joined the Braves late that June, and man, just was a great player, and definitely hate to hear the passing of Bob Horner. And tough year for it. You know, the Braves on the field are doing absolutely amazing. The battery making tons of money, and that's all fine, well, and dandy, but losing Ted Turner, Bobby Cox, and now Bob Horner back to back to back in what feels like such quick succession. Tough, man. Tough. And again, Bob Horner was a guy that I didn't get to really sit down and watch. Obviously, I was born in 1996. Bob Horner was way before my time, but still, you hear the stories, you see the clips, and you know what he means to Braves country. You know what he means to the Atlanta Braves organization, and you just hate the fact that, again, Braves are Braves and Braves country and Braves fans like you and me alike having to do a lot of grieving, and we'll have to take time to do a lot of healing, losing legends like, again, Ted Turner, Bobby Cox, and Bob Horner, all, again, virtually back to back to back. So tough, but rest in peace to Bob Horner. Definitely will be missed. And I know the Braves will have a tribute waiting for him when they return to Truist Park. So again, rest in peace to Bob Horner. Did pass away yesterday at the age of 68. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews. Moving on here, obviously a little bit of a somber story there, but we will move on here and finish a little bit of a high note. We're going to get into some NFL headlines now. A few people got paid yesterday. How about the Los Angeles Chargers making Derwin James the NFL's highest paid safety again? Chargers and Derwin James Jr. agreed to a 3-year, $75.6 million contract extension. That's making him the highest paid safety for the second time in his career. His agent, David Mulligetta, told ESPN's Adam Schefter that yesterday. Deal includes $57.5 million guaranteed. Derwin James earned his fourth All-Pro honor last season. He was entering the final year of the 4-year extension that made him the highest paid safety back in 2022. His new deal resets the market at $25.2 million per year, passing the record of Ravens safety Kyle Hamilton signed back in 2025. So, man, good to be Derwin James. Highest paid safety twice in your career? That's pretty darn good. But, man, Derwin James, I know he's dealt with some injuries, you know, here and there, but that dude is a straight-up dog. I remember watching him in Florida State saying, yeah, that guy's going to be pretty darn good. He's going to be pretty darn good. So congratulations, man, to Derwin James. Let me hold some, big dog. Let me hold some. But he wasn't the only one that got paid yesterday. The Texans gave star wide receiver Nico Collins a raise in his new reworked deal. Texans general manager Nick Caserio backed up his draft stance that wideout Nico Collins is not available by trade. And he stood on business with that by giving Nico a raise. The Texans and the two-time Pro Bowl wideout agreed yesterday to adjust Collins' contract by guaranteeing his salary for the next two seasons along with the raise. That's what Collins' agents told ESPN's Adam Schefter yesterday. So the Texans are giving Collins a $9 million cash increase in 2026 and an $8 million cash increase in 2027. And again, that's what Drew Rosenhaus and Jason Rosenhaus told Adam Schefter. Before the rework contract, Collins was due $20.8 million in 2026 after signing a three-year $72 million extension in 2024, and he was originally set to be the 18th highest-paid wide receiver this season, even though he was 10th among receivers in receiving yards, 4th in receiving yards per game, tied for 14th in touchdowns since 2024. So with the new deal, Collins is set to make $29.8 million this season, and that's 5th highest amongst wide receivers. So a little bit of a raise for Nico to make him feel good about what he's been doing and make him happy. And so all is well out there in Houston between Nico and the Texans. All right, those are some quick NFL headlines for you. Just also real quick, Patrick Mahomes was on the field for the Chiefs first OTA practice. Again, nothing too crazy there because, again, you're not doing anything crazy. You're in shorts. You're just doing some fundamental type things. So nothing that I don't think anybody didn't expect. So it's not like a moment when you talk about Patrick Mahomes being on the field for the Chiefs first OTA practice. But nonetheless, he was there. All right, that is my time. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whatever you want to. The Morning Shift coming up next. Mikey P getting a little R&R, a little rest and relaxation. So it is just Ally Mac and Squidbilly, Bo Morgan, hanging out with you. I'll be hanging out with Ally and Bo as usual. Morning Shift, though, coming up next. Here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. And until I talk to y'all tomorrow, Noel, I appreciate you. Y'all have a great day. Peace.